Happy Lord's Day, and thank you for tuning in and staying with us here on the Gospel of Grace. We're very thankful for your support and for taking time out of your day to spend time with us in the Word of God. During my time on the program, we've been trying to go through the topic of providence, and we've been looking at some specific aspects of God's providence. During my last message, we looked at the life of Job and God's providential hedge. And we want to go back to the story of Job and look at God's trying of our faith. And the story of Job is an example of how we're very tempted to want to pursue and try to explain the question, why? Why did this circumstance happen in my life? And the short answer is we just simply rarely have the knowledge and the information available to us in the moment to be able to understand why. Now, as years go along and we are able to look back with things that happened and look back at those things with 2020 providential hindsight, we can see in some instances, I know I can see that in my life, why didn't this work out? Why did I have to go through this? Well, that was an important lesson I had to learn in the midst of that. And the Lord didn't bless this to happen because there was another circumstance that was better for me, that now I can see it was better for me. And the Lord didn't give me what I thought I needed because He had something that was better for me. But rarely can we see that in the moment. You know, we talked a few messages ago about Joseph, right? I doubt that he really understood how the Lord was moving during the 13 years when he was in Egypt, that he went through tremendous suffering for 13 years. And that's a long time, isn't it? Man, there's a lot that's happened in the last 13 years in my life. 13 years of him pretty much being miserable down in Egypt, still serving the Lord in the midst of his misery. But look what the Lord was doing. Look what the Lord was doing. He was trying him. He was testing him. And I think also many times the Lord tests us and tries us to see, to not just prepare us, but also to see the people that he can entrust with great acts of service in the future. Right? There are some people that started out well, but they faded. They proved to be unfaithful. Saul is an example. Saul started out humble, but instead time proved that he couldn't handle prosperity. And it went to his head, and he became prideful and became a horrible king. The Lord removed his presence from Saul, and he lifted up a man who had proved himself shepherding sheep, a man after his own heart, King David. So why does the Lord suffer these things? Well, many times the Lord, one of the most important aspects of the trials that come in our life is the purification of our faith. And hopefully, in the midst of that, if we respond appropriately, not just the purification of our faith, but our sanctification, that we grow in greater faithfulness and love and purification in service to the Lord, but then also that our faith becomes stronger. And if there are things that prevent us from serving the Lord faithfully, the Lord sends us many times through the furnace of affliction, through the fire, to burn away that dross. If you remember when we talked about the will of God in a previous series, we talked about God as the perfect potter, and God uses circumstances in our life to bring about growth and purification. And there are certain shortcomings that we all have that need to be refined to where they're not a hindrance for us in the future. If you remember some examples, we used Peter. Peter was great, very prideful and impetuous, and the Lord used his failings of his denial to really prepare him to be a better vessel. And who is it that wrote, when we'll read a little bit later on, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Who's the man who the Holy Spirit chose to write that? Peter. And Peter knew all about the purification of his faith through suffering, right? He knew about the purification of him being put through the furnace to try to make him a more humble servant instead of a zealous servant, but a very impetuous and prideful and arrogant and hot-headed servant. He had to go through some purification to make him a vessel that was more meet for the master's use, of greater use as a vessel, of more pure gold after than before. Another example we used was Moses, right? There's a lot that had to be burned out of Moses. There's a lot of dross that had to be burned out of Moses when he left Egypt as a 40-year-old man. And the Lord burned away that dross in 40 years of shepherding sheep in Midian on the backside of the desert. And also, it just tells you, boy, we're all a work in progress, aren't we? It took 40 years, 40 years of that affliction and that furnace to burn away all of the dross so Moses could be the leader he needed to be when he went back to Egypt to lead the Israelites out of bondage. So, returning to the book of Job, in the midst of this trial, in the midst of this circumstance, Job has remained faithful most of the time, and he has been struggling, though, with some accusations of his friends that are saying, you have this secret unrepentant sin, be honest, and just quit covering it up and repent. And he knew that that was not the case. And he begins defending himself, probably a little bit too pridefully. And as any of us would, he took it personal when they accused him of that. So we want to jump in here in Job 23. And he's in the midst of this furnace of affliction. And I think it's so important for us to just let these words of Job sink into our soul. Because many times when we are in the midst of the furnace, there's a lot we're not going to understand in the midst of the furnace. Now, once you get out of it and you see how the Lord blessed you, you can look back and say, wow, the Lord was there with me all the time. But listen, boy, it's tough. It is tough. Why? Because that furnace is hot, right? How is it that metals have impurities burned away? It's through the intensity of the heat, right? So it's hard in the midst of that for us to see fully what the Lord is doing. But I think even though we can't see everything that the Lord is doing, we have to trust by faith that God is there, that He hasn't left us, and that He is using these circumstances to purify us, to burn away dross, to be greater servants to the Lord. So here in Job 23, again, boy, he is in the thick of it, isn't he? He has these boils. His wife's turned against him. His friends have turned against him. He's still grieving from the loss of his 10 kids and the loss of all of his business holdings. And clearly, his reputation has been slandered because people are acting like he has this secret unrepentant sin that's not true. So he, in a worldly sense, he's lost everything. He's lost everything. And he says in the midst of the heat of this furnace, Job 23, verse 8, behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. Then in verse 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held my steps, and his way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. So Job says in the midst of this, I know God's there. And it's so important that we have those bedrock truths. God will never leave us or forsake us. And there are no exceptions to that verse in the Bible. God will never leave us or forsake us, especially in the midst of our greatest trials. But I'll tell you, in the midst of the fire, in the midst of the heat of the battle, it might be difficult to see the unseen hand of God. I mean, again, we may be able to see it in 2020 providential hindsight, looking back and how what the Lord did and how he did it. But when we're in the foxhole and those bullets are whizzing by us, when we are in the foxhole of spiritual warfare, it's hard to see the Lord. It's hard to see the Lord in many of those moments. But even though he could not perceive him, even though I can't feel the powerful manifest presence of God in the midst of this trial, he went back to the bedrock truth that I know God is there. On the left hand where he doth work. Lord, I know you're working on the left hand, but boy, it sure doesn't make any sense to me how you're working on the left hand. It sure seems like I'm going through the worst suffering of my life, probably the worst suffering that anyone's ever endured. I know you're working, but Lord, I'll just be honest with you. It doesn't make it any sense to me how you're working. On the left hand, I know you're working, but I can't behold him. He hideth himself on the right. That means I know he's on the right hand, but he's hiding himself. I don't have clarity of vision of him on the right hand. I know he's on the right hand, but he's hiding himself. I can't see him. I can't perceive him when I look backward, but I know that he's protecting my back, right? He's not going to let Satan sneak up behind me. No, I know he's protecting my back, but I can't perceive him. And I go forward, but it sure doesn't seem like that I can see him right there. So God's got him hedged all around, right? Forward, backward, left and right. God's got him protected. He's got him protected. But he can't feel it. He can't feel it in the moment. But even though he can't feel it, he goes back to the bedrock truth that I know God's there. I know he's working, even though I can't feel it, even though I can't perceive it. I can't see him, but I know he's there. And then he takes comfort in the fact that God knoweth the way that I take. You know, the only reason that Job was in the circumstance that he was in was because the Lord, in his wisdom and his providence and his will, saw fit to remove his providential hedge to suffer Satan to do all this calamity. And none of that took God by surprise, did it? No, it didn't. God knew what was going to happen. God knew the wicked devices of Satan. He knew what was going to happen. None of this caught him by surprise. And he knew more intimately than anyone exactly the suffering that Job would undertake. And Job says, I know that God's got me. I know that he's right here with me. And he knows intimately the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And notice how he's had this vision of his future. And this vision of his future was not necessarily that he was going to get double of everything he had before. That ended up happening. But his vision of himself is that I'm going to be a more refined servant of the Lord. I'm going to be a more refined vessel that's more meet for the master's use after the intensity of this suffering than even when I was before. And not only am I going to be a better servant, but I'm going to have this amazing testimony that I can tell everyone about to the glory of God, that in spite of all the suffering, in spite of all me losing all of my business holdings and losing my 10 kids and me losing my health and my wife turning against me and my three best friends turning against me, I prayed for my friends even when they didn't deserve it. And God returned everything unto me. And I got double what I had before. And I have 10 more kids. And my daughters are the most beautiful in the entire land. And then he could take that story and go minister to someone who was also in the midst of that trial and said, you don't be worried. You don't be concerned. God's not going to forsake you. You may not be able to see God right now, but look what he did for me. And he could use that testimony to encourage others in the midst of this trial. Why? Because his faith was purified through the most intense suffering. And I tell you, just like those three Hebrew, we call them children, but they were grown men. Those three Hebrew men that refused to bow down to the graven images, and they were thrown into the fire. You want to know who's right there with them in the midst of the fire? Nebuchadnezzar says, I see the form of the fourth, and it looks like the Son of God. You know who was right there in the midst of that fire, in the midst of his glory being manifested because of their faithfulness in the midst of a trial? They didn't cave and wilt away. They were willing to pay the ultimate price, and look what God did in honoring their commitment and their purification of their faith. You want to know who was right there with them in the midst of that refining fire? The Son of God was right there with them. And it was so powerfully manifest that even this, I have a lot of different opinions about Nebuchadnezzar, whether he was or wasn't a child of God. But I'll tell you, he didn't act like it most of the time if he was. He was a wicked man most of his life. Maybe he had a tender heart, but he was a wicked man most of his life. And that wicked man who hated those people enough that he turned up that fire seven times hotter than it ever been and consumed the people that threw him in, even that wicked man had to acknowledge and confess that God is with them in the midst of this trial. The Son of God is with them in the midst of that trial. And I tell you, when God shines forth his glory in your life in the midst of a great affliction that people would say, how could she ever endure that? And them, and not only not charge God foolishly, but worship and glorify God and say, just like Job, naked came I out of my mother's womb. And I'm gonna shut up with nothing. I'm going to leave with nothing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How could they possibly be glorifying God in the midst of that trial? Well, look how God is magnified and glorified through the purification of their faith. You see? And not only is your faith strengthened, but now you have a testimony to go and to tell other people that are in the midst of their trial. Because we have a duty. We have a duty to pay it forward. When God has blessed you in the midst of your trial, you have a duty to go encourage people that are in the midst of their trial. And you tell them, you may not be able to see God right now. There was a time in years past where I couldn't see God in the midst of my trial, but this is what he was doing. He was moving in his providence, and he put this person in my life, and he moved this situation that I thought that would never work out. God did all of this, and look how he blessed me in the midst of this. And I want to tell you, I don't know how this is going to turn out for you, but God's got you. God's with you. God's not going to leave you. He's working on the left hand and the right. I know you probably can't see him right now, but he's working. He's working. I promise you he's working. And you don't lose heart, child of God. And you can go and tell somebody that. You don't lose heart. Don't give up in the midst of this trial. Allow the work of sanctification to burn away dross in your life. And you use that as a testimony to go encourage other people that are struggling. And you know what? There's depth to that. And that's why God suffers some of these trials that come in our life. And what happened if our life was all just mountaintops and rainbows and cupcakes? Listen, there's depth that people need in a world that's fallen with sin. And the way that we get that depth is by hard times coming in our life through difficult trials and honoring God in the midst of that and glorifying God in the midst of that. Because I guarantee you, he's with you in the fire. He didn't throw you in the fire to purify you and then just leave you alone. No, the Son of God's right there with you in the midst of that trial. And that's what Job is reminding himself of. I know God's with me. I know he's here, right here in the furnace with me. I can't see him on the right hand right now. I can't see him on the left. I can't perceive him to the back, and I can't see him to the front. But he's right there with me. And I'll tell you, child of God, God's right with you. And I hope the Holy Spirit gives you the comfort and the conviction and the peace to know that he knows the way that you take. He knows what you're going through. We sing a song in the old Baptist church, Jesus knows. Jesus knows all the way my feet must go. He knows. And to a large degree, he's the only one that knows. You know, there's a lot of people that no doubt felt empathy for Job, felt sympathy and empathy for him. But I'll tell you, there wasn't a single person that could say, Job, I know what you're going through. There wasn't a single person. But you want to know who did know what Job was going through? The Son of God that was right with him in the midst of that fire. He knew what he was going through. God knew what Job was going through. And you want to know, Job took comfort in that. He knows where I'm at. He knows the way that I take. And I know that he's putting me through this furnace of affliction for a purpose. For my sanctification. There's a verse in Proverbs 25 and verse 4. Take away the dross from the silver, and it shall come forth a vessel for the finer. And that's what God does in the furnace of affliction. That's what God does when he suffers these trials to come in our life. Is there is no doubt in all of our lives, dross, impurities, shortcomings, bad attitudes, pride. And it may be different for different people, but we all got way too much pride in us. But there is dross in all of our life. And you want to know the only way to get that dross out? The way to get that dross out. Now, one way to get that dross out is the Lord burdens you to repent and you repent, right? But most of us are too stubborn to do that. Most of us are too stubborn to just say, to take the Lord at his word and say, you need to fix this. And you say, oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'll fix it. No, we pretend like we don't have problems. We pretend like that we're exactly where we need to be at. We ignore what the Lord has called us to do. And if we ignore it, what's the Lord going to do? He's going to send a trial. If we ignore dross and impurities in our life, the Lord will send a trial for the purpose of purification, for the purpose of sanctification, to burn away the dross, to burn away the dross that is hindering me in service to God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21 talks about after the end result of that. We mentioned for you before, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold, that we would be refined as gold after it's tried with fire. And then the end result of that, 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 21, unto honor sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. So that we would be a vessel that is more meet for the master's use after that trial than before. So child of God, if you're in the midst of the heat of that trial, if you feel like that you're being consumed in the flames of that affliction and the flames of that furnace, I want to tell you, child of God, the Son of God is right there with you in the midst of that. The Lord encourages his people in Isaiah 43 and verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I'm going to be right there with you. through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. You're not going to be removed. And isn't that amazing? You know, what happens if we go through the fire? Well, we should come out of that fire with scars, right? But how are we going to come out instead? We're going to come out more purified. We're going to come out more purified. And hopefully, if we allow the sanctifying work. Now, child of God, you can squander. The Lord is gracious to send trials, to burn away dross. But if you are stubborn and rebellious against that, you might squander the fullness of the work of sanctification that the Lord intends in the midst of this trial. But if you allow that trial to have its perfect work in you, then we will be a vessel that's more meet for the Master's use. And that's what the Lord intends, right? You know, the Lord knows that we're not ready to do everything we need to do in the future. He knows we're not ready to do it right now. So what does He do? He brings circumstances in our life to prepare us for the future, to purify impurities and dross that will hinder us in the future. Just like Peter, just like Moses, especially Moses. Think about Moses and the purification that he went through. It took 40 years for him to be purified and burn away dross, to be the man he needed to be to perform the work that the Lord had called him. And he was a vessel that was more meet for the Master's use. And we just pray that we would be useful vessels. That's my prayer for my life. Lord, whatever comes, Lord, come what may of joy or sorrow. Lord, whatever comes, just use me the way that you desire to use me in your kingdom. And I know that there in my life right now, no doubt there are limitations that hinder me from serving in the manner that I ought to. And you know what? Hopefully I can deal with them, but it may be necessary for that dross to be burned away in the midst of affliction, in the midst of suffering. And we just pray that the Lord would have His perfect work done in us. His good, acceptable, and perfect will would be manifested through us as we grow in service to the Lord. And one of the ways in which we do grow in service to the Lord is allowing that purifying furnace of trials and afflictions to have its perfect work in us. I know this is somewhat of a difficult topic. No one necessarily likes the idea of going through the furnace of affliction, but I do hope that you can see through our time together today the vision of our, hopefully all of our desire to be a vessel that's more meet for the Master's use. And we hope that the Lord can bless us to allow those afflictions to have their perfect work in us so we can serve the Lord in humility and faithfulness to His honor and to His glory. May God bless you today.